The hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
I came to play.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray.
I came to play.
To rise to the eternal day. They're never coming back. Watch if you
pray. I came to play.
I came to play. To get my due pay. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
I came to play.
Monday night. I am down here at the bar. I'm in the bar. I'm at the bar in the basement having a delicious cocktail, and you are checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here. You know what? I should say this. The number one digital audio live broadcasted food program on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, and oh, by the way, archives to iTunes. That's my announcer voice, ladies and gentlemen. My announcer voice. Very excited. Got a great show tonight, man. We're going to be talking to our good buddy and show regular, the host of Welcome to Connecticut, my friend Ken Tuccio, is calling in and talking about Super Bowl and what he's got going on. Sounds like an incredible event. I think it's like $15 for a bar or something. Ken's going to tell us all about it. It's going to be a crazy event. Looking forward to it. I will be there as well. And more importantly tonight, you guys, you know my obsession with burgers. You know my obsession with a good burger, because there's so many people who make bad burgers out there. And I am a giant fan of our guest tonight and what he's doing for burgers and for, you know, Burger Nation. How about that? Hashtag Burger Nation. We've got Jamie Schwide coming on, the president of Schwide & Sons. Awesome, just great burgers from an unbelievable family business. My good friend, the one and only Rev Ciancio, introduced me to Schwide & Sons and the burgers, and it has changed my burger life, my friend. That's the truth. That really is the truth, I'm telling you. Listen, just because it's December, just because it's January, just because it's February, doesn't mean we can't still have awesome burgers. And trust me, the first place to start is going to be with my good friends at Schwide & Sons. You can check them out. They're in Costco. They're in ShopRite. Go to the website at Schwide & Sons.com. Tells you every place you can get those burgers. Look it up. There's a map. You type in your address. Tells you exactly just how close they are. So, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic show. Can't wait to talk to Jamie. And the fun part is, guys, it's going to be one of the first interviews I've ever done with somebody that I haven't had a pre-interview with. I haven't talked to ahead of time. I guess that's not entirely too true. Jamie did call. He's on hold. And I talked to him for all of 15 seconds. But in that 15 seconds, I could tell you, this gentleman, you can tell a lot in 15 seconds when you talk to somebody. The second you click over to introduce yourself and say hello, if they're this guy, oh, hey, how are you? What's going on? That guy's probably not going to be great. I clicked over, talked to Jamie. He was excited. He was excited about burgers. He was really into it. So I'm really looking forward to it, because I love people who love food, and you guys know how I am about food. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, I have to talk to you about it for a second. We had a catering. If you're not from the Northeast right now, I know we have a lot of people in places such as Singapore, Germany, checking the show out. We got hit with what some people are calling a blizzard. A insane snowstorm, which, by the way, blows my mind, because we're in the Northeast, and last time I checked, Northeast, if we have 6 inches of snow, it doesn't even really freaking count for anything. But apparently, these guys think it counts, and they were calling it a blizzard, making quite the deal about it. For me, and as most of you guys know, and I'm sure a lot of you were doing it too in the Northeast, we had to work, because we all know we have to have our beer and our burgers and our food still delivered to us from the restaurant, or in my case, from the catering job that we have to do. But all in all, it was a great job. And it was funny, because I wasn't that far from home doing this particular catering job. But the catering job itself, dude, it took me an hour to get home. I was about 9 miles from my house. It took me an hour to get home. It was a great job. But one thing I want to point out to anyone out there who's looking at having a catering done at your house, just because you want to have, just appetizers, we don't need a full meal. Ladies and gentlemen, that is more work. Don't think for a second that is not more work. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Just appetizers is more work. So listen, championship games were yesterday for NFL. My beloved Pittsburgh Steelers, as I sit down here right now staring at my Let's Go Steelers stoplight that's flashing in front of me down here at the bar, these games happened. We now know that in the championship game, the Super Bowl, arguably the biggest American holiday there is, we are going to have the Carolina Panthers and all 19 of their fans against the Denver Peyton Mannings. It's going to be a great game, I'm sure. It's Super Bowl. I think that pretty much we can have anybody playing as long as it's a Super Bowl. But we know that at the Super Bowl, there's all kinds of great events that happen. And my friend right now who's on the phone, the one and only Ken Tuccio, has an incredible event happening. Ken, what's going on, dude?
What's going on, buddy? A Pittsburgh Steelers stoplight. That's kind of poetic for this year.
Yeah, listen, I will be the first person to tell you that we lost. And I do use the term we because I play the game too. When they beat the Bengals, Kenny, I jumped up and did kung fu moves in the living room in front of my wife.
Well, to be fair, you do that on Saturday nights for your wife.
Well, that's a whole other story in itself, and I wasn't going to get into that. I'm trying to keep this show, clean. So maybe we'll get into that later on. But, dude, Super Bowl time, a great time for bars, a great time for parties. Everyone has parties. You have an incredible event, which I'm so looking forward to because I saw some of the beers that are going to be there. Tell us about it. What the hell is going on?
Oh, man, it's going to be pretty awesome. I'm actually kind of psyched about it. We're doing an event teaming up with the guys at Blind Rhino in Norwalk, which, phenomenal sports bar. Like, these are guys who are they're young guys. They're ambitious guys. They're like you and me, man. They're hustlers, and they want to do a sports bar right, and they are embracing being a sports bar. So I'm working with them, and we're doing an event called Sono Bowl. And what Sono Bowl is it's a little bit different. Like, a lot of bars just do, like, drink specials for the Super Bowl. A lot of bars just don't want to do work, you know. They don't want to do anything to kind of draw people
right.
in. They don't want to do anything exciting. So
right.
What we're doing is called Sono Bowl. It's a Super Bowl pregame game show. So it's completely different. It's kicking off 4 p.m. on Super Bowl Sunday. And what we're going to do, I'm hosting this thing. You're going to be helping me out with it for some of the games. And we're going to be playing a whole bunch of wild and crazy, wacky games that people are going to be able to drink, have a good time, and play. They get to win some cash and prizes before the big game. And the killer for this thing is the tickets for this are $15.
Tell them what they get.
They get open bar from 4 p.m. until kickoff.
$15, open bar. You would look at an event like this and you think, okay, open bar, so we're drinking PBR and Virginia Gentleman. That's what we have. No, that's not the case.
And you
tell
would
them what
think that. And you would think that. And that's the thing is, like, when we first announced open bar, a lot of people thought they were going to be drinking, like, warm Natty Ice and like, Pabst Blue Ribbon, but they're not. Like Blind Rhino and myself have put together, like, a really, really awesome list of breweries. Two Roads Brewing is helping sponsor the event, so we're going to have a lot of Two Roads beer on tap.
Great beer.
Going to have...
Great beer, even better people.
People. And Two Roads is out of this world in every way. We're going to have Beard Brewing there. Beard Brewing in Stonington, Connecticut. We are going to be having Lawson's Finest, which obviously, if you know beer, you know Lawson's in the area. We're going to have beer from Nebco on tap. So, like, you're paying $15. And, like, just realistically speaking, like, I went to the bar 2 weeks ago, and I got two glasses of Hobbit juice, two pints of Hobbit juice from Beard. And that cost me $14. So
yeah, it's amazing.
$15 is getting you into this thing. You get all you can drink, open bar from 4 p.m. until kickoff, and you know, quality beers on tap, man. It's gonna be a blast.
Man, it's great beers on tap. It's a fun event. You're gonna be there doing the stuff that you do. Now, is there gonna be food, or what's the story with the food deal? We just kind of ordering off the menu, or what's the deal? I know they have.
They're gonna have the menu available if you want to order food. Blind Rhino has some of the best food of any sports bar I've been at. God knows how long. They're gonna have food available. You can go there, eat, drink, have a good time, play some games, win some money, and then stick around to watch Peyton Manning win a ring.
That's right, the Denver Peyton Manning. They're playing the game this year. Listen, to be honest with you, I don't think they have a chance. What do you think?
I'm a big fan. Like, listen, I like Cam Newton. Cam Newton carried me through my fantasy season this year. And I'm not a Broncos fan by any leap of the imagination. But, you know, the storybook part of Penn West v. Peyton Manning, like, final year, win a last ring, and then, you know, right off to the sunset. I think I'd like that.
Yeah, I told you earlier today when I spoke to you, you know, he's doing all those Geico commercials now or whatever, it's progressive commercials, and we watched the game. We were watching the end of the game happen, and all I could do when I saw him win was just go, Peyton's getting one more chance. Because I'm telling you, after this, he's done.
Oh, he's done. He's done after this season. And honestly, like going into the playoffs, I didn't think they were smart for starting him. If I was the coach, I would have been starting Brock Osweiler, to be fair. But,
Brock,
you know, Peyton Manning. You know, Peyton Manning got him there. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see Peyton Manning get a ring more than Cam Newton personally. But,
right.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm a Dolphins fan. I haven't gotten playoffs since 2008. So what am I, you know, what do I get?
This is a national show. Don't tell everybody you're a Dolphins fan. We might not be able to be friends anymore.
Listen, 2008, when Tom Brady got hurt and the Dolphins, like, you know, won the AFC East, that was the greatest year ever.
I remember that year.
That was when the dynamic Chad Pennington led us to the playoffs.
The dynamic. I like that. I was always a Chad Pennington fan. So check out this event at the Blind Rhino. It's going to be amazing out in Norwalk. $15 gets you in the door. You got an open bar with some amazing local beers on tap. There's going to be a lot of fun games. There's going to be food if you want to order it. You certainly can. And, of course, you're going to be there doing lots of games, having a great time, man. It's going to be a fun event. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, no, man. I'm psyched that you're going to be a part of it. We got some fun games planned. A lot of people are going to be playing some fun games, winning some cash and prizes. And, Plum, just for you, I've been putting together a playlist.
Uh-oh.
So it's going to be good to go, man. It's going to be tight. Lots of Matthew Sweet.
The problem is that you and I have very, very big differences in music. See, I like music that men like. You like music that, well, could be questionable.
Yeah, well, you just wait. I'll convert you to some of my music at some point.
Check it out. You can follow Kenny on Twitter, at Rhymes with Penn. He's a great follow. And, of course, on Instagram if you want to see cat pics and pictures of his wife. Which, by the way, your wife didn't follow me back on Instagram. I was very offended.
I will tell her right after I get off the phone with you. I'll say, hey, Maura, go follow Plum back on Instagram. He's really hurt.
I was offended. We bonded at one of your events, her and I. I thought we were friends, and she freaking ditched me and left me hanging.
Well, I'll tell her right now. Oh, also, one last thing. The tickets are going to be available at the door, but we think this thing's going to sell out. So if they want to buy tickets in advance, the website's welcomect.com.
WelcomeCT.com for tickets, $15, open bar, basically a game show. Kenny's going to be there wearing a suit and having one of those long stick microphones, playing lots of fun games. Can we call you Bob Barker for the rest of the event?
As long as I can make constant jokes about you spaying and neutering your pets.
I love it. I'm in. Are you going to have Plinko? Because I love Plinko.
Oh, my God. You keep asking for Plinko. What is your obsession with Plinko?
Who doesn't like Plinko? Plinko is a great game.
Not for nothing, if I was going to pick a Price is Right game, I would do that one with, like, the yodeler that goes up the hill.
Yodeler.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was a mountain climber or something. I don't know. That's a fun game. Jeez.
Plinko is a great game. And, by the way, this is the show about food, and we're talking Plinko and the yodel game, which is excellent. So I'm glad we're keeping things on track.
Hey, yodels are food. Yodels are food.
Those little fucking cakes. You're right.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a Hostess or something like that, wasn't it?
Or something. It was like Little Debbie or Hostess. They were yodels. I don't know. I used to get stoned in college and eat those things like crazy. I used to buy like the off-market ones and get stoned and eat those.
Good Lord. So, listen, speaking of great food, dude, I have an awesome guest on tonight. I'm talking to Jamie Schwide, the president of Schwide & Sons. We're talking burgers and beef, just a couple of men talking beef. It's going to be a great conversation.
Oh, awesome, man. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, dude. I'm looking forward to it. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to end this ridiculous conversation with you and probably get to him, if that's okay.
All right, you go get to him, Plum. Thanks as always, man. Love you.
Dude, you're the man. Check out welcometoct.com for tickets to the event out at the Blind Rhino in Norwalk, if you're in the tri-state area. $15, 4 to 6 p.m. is going to get you an open bar and fun games. And you know what? Kenny's going to be there. Trust me, every event he does is a blast. He's a great host. He's a great guy. Support him. Get up there and see what he's got going on. Hey, I think I'm going to hang out there too, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it, my man.
Absolutely, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
My dude. I'll talk to you later on, dude.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. That's Ken Tuccio, the host of Welcome to Connecticut. His podcast, just so you guys know, started from nothing and has become arguably one of the biggest shows in Connecticut. What he's done, He has more listeners than most radio stations. He has more listeners than most TV shows locally have here. His podcast is phenomenal. Make sure you check it out. I'm a big fan of Kenny. He's been great to me. He's very supportive of everything we do. Got to do the same thing for him. Make sure you follow him at Rhymes with Penn on Twitter. He's a great dude. Check it out. Now that we've got that out the way, I'm going to play a quick spot, and then we are going to come right back and talk burgers and beef with my man, Jamie Schwad, the president. That's right, at 36 years old, the president of one of the most iconic burger and beef companies in the tri-state area. I'm going to say the country because, listen, I had these burgers. I was blown away by them, and now I'm, like, spoiled, so I have to find them constantly. You're checking out the number one food talk show that is live. That's right, live on Monday nights right here. Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Chef Plum, and we'll be right back with my man, Jamie Schwad from Schwad & Sons. Stay right there. Don't go. ProPlayerInsiders.com brings a unique behind-the-scenes look at the lives and lifestyles of the players of the National Football League with news, analysis, interviews, coverage of community events, and featured contributions from current and former NFL players and their families. Hey, and let's not forget chefs like myself are also on there. Be sure to bookmark ProPlayerInsiders.com and also find them on Facebook and on the Twitter at Player Insiders. Pro Player Insiders, the true voice of the players. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for a smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15%.
I need a little space in my mind. I need that little hope I can't find. I need a little, I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask for? I need to feel my soul come alive. I need to feel the strength to get by. I need a little, I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask for? Too much to ask for. Too much to ask for. Too much to ask for.
That's right, everybody. Coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live. We are hanging out. I'm just so excited. Listen, the event with Kenny is going to be fun for Super Bowl. I'm sitting down here at the bar. I just poured myself a delicious bourbon and diet soda because I'm watching my Adonis-like figure as we move forward with a lot of cool things that are happening. We'll talk about towards the end of the show. But right now, you guys, honestly, right now, I'm going to bring in my guest right now because, listen, there's a couple things in life as a chef when it comes to food that I'm religious about, that I have incredible opinions about, and one of them is burgers. And after being introduced to Schwad & Sons and the ground beef that these burgers, I mean, you guys just have no idea. So I'm playing Faith by Calvin Harris because you have to have faith and trust me that these are some of the best burgers in the world. I'm gonna bring in my guest right now, the president of Schwad & Sons. Humbled and honored to have you here, brother. Everybody, Mr. Jamie Schwad.
Absolutely my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me on, and really appreciate the kind words you've expressed about our great hamburgers.
Man, you guys are killing it over there, man. And honestly, like, you know, I don't bullshit, Jamie. And honestly, I truly, truly don't. And I don't talk about things unless I absolutely believe in them. And when I met Rev, Honestly, I felt bad for you guys originally. I was like, man, Rev, like, that's the guy they chose. He talks a lot. That's incredible. But he's very passionate as well. So am I. And I tell you, I was blown away by it, man. What you guys are doing is just it's really, in my opinion, changing the game for a lot of these people.
Well, Chef, it only took us 4 generations of Schweiz in the meat business to figure out how to make a great burger. So don't think this is something that came overnight.
Absolutely, and it is 4 generations, and you guys have been doing this for a really, really, really long time. What started the whole thing? What made Schweid & Sons happen to begin with?
Well, you know, the story is my great-grandfather immigrated from Eastern Europe over to the United States, and the only thing he could do was butcher. So when he came here, he became a local butcher on the Lower East Side of was butchering, you know, obviously beef, pork, et cetera. And then my grandfather was probably in his late, at early 20s, and he joined the Army. And in the Army, he decided that he wanted to go into the food business or the food world when he was joining the Army. And so what happened there is he had this passion for food, and when he left the Army, he started working up in 125th Street in Harlem.
Yeah.
Yep. And so actually at that time in New York City, that was where a lot of the meat was fabricated and produced. So as well as the meatpacking district that you all know today as the hottest place in New York with amazing overly priced restaurants and and incredibly overpriced clothing, that actually was the meatpacking district. And so about 40 years ago, my father started Schweid & Sons in the meatpacking district. So there was some meat places there. It was actually meat, poultry, very little seafood because that was over at the market. But, yeah, that's how it started. And about 20 years ago, we moved out to Jersey. And my dad was, as I say, I was fortunate enough to be hired by my father right out of college. I had to send my resume in, interview with my mother, and luckily I was able to get the job.
Wait, okay, so I have, like, you just gave me, like, 9 questions at once, Jamie. So first of all, which is, it's a great story. I love it. But, I mean, so the company gets called Schweid & Sons. So immediately you know you're going to be working the rest of your life doing burgers. You don't have much choice in the matter after this, right?
Well, ironically enough, so the name actually of the company was Burger Maker up until about a couple of years ago. And, you know, my dad really pushed us in different directions and said, look, I want you to go and do what you're passionate about in life. And if it's burgers, great. If it's not, great. You know, whatever you want to do. So I graduated, actually, at a very interesting time in New York City. It was 2 or 3 months before 9/11. So like every other kid who graduated college then, because the market was, you know, going insanely up. I was like, I want to work at Wall Street because I think I'm going to be the next Gordon Gekko.
Right, right.
So I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to – my brother at the time was working on Wall Street. I'm going to, you know, falter right on in. And then we had an economic downturn. There was a hiring freeze. So a very funny story. It's Labor Day weekend, and my father turns to me and says, so you're coming into the office tomorrow. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Uh-oh.
If you're coming into the office tomorrow, I'm like, what? He goes, what do you think, I'm going to let you sleep every day? You come into the office, you'll look for a job until you can get a job.
Uh-oh.
And, so I was like, So I get up, and I start going to the office, and for the first 2 months, you know, I'm sort of dabbling a little bit here and there. And then roughly, then starting around November, I started to get the itch. And then from there, it was just, it's been just an amazing, incredible journey. So I couldn't be more excited to be working there. And then we changed the name of 2 years ago to Schweid & Sons. So the burger's better because my name's on it.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's one of those things that I'm curious about. So in your life growing up as a kid, like, I mean, was it just constantly you guys having burgers nonstop? Was it always different blends? And would it almost be tested on the family?
See, you know, my father and grandfather were, you know, they always would bring home ground beef to the house, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's very interesting that they loved, at that point, they loved Hanger Beef.
Yeah.
And so and this was before anyone was grinding it. It was very cheap, and they loved the sort of the gamier flavor that was involved. But, mm-hmm. they would always bring home for meatloaf or for burgers, probably a beef at least once a week. But, yeah, they'd come home, and my dad would bring it home, and my mom, who is an amazing cook.
Right, right.
I blame my childhood obesity on my mother because of the way she cooked. And we talk about this, and I joke with her all the time. I'm like, if you would have been a crappy cook, then maybe I wouldn't have, been, heavy growing up. But anyway, that's another joke. So, yeah, no, you come home. And
brother, I'm heavy now, brother, so don't worry. I'm not judging you.
I know. So,
Don't agree with me. Say no.
What do you mean?
Like an Adonis.
you told me your body's an Adonis, so in no way, your body is a temple.
Yes, yes, yes. I call it 250 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, brother.
Hey, I'm no one to judge. I'm one to just embrace and enjoy the beauties of the world.
There you go. There you go. I mean, listen, it's one of the things. So, your burgers are unbelievable. I mean, they really, truly, truly are. And you can taste how much care you guys put into it. I know how much quality control and how much you actually are involved in all that. But I want to throw something out to you and just kind of get your reaction to it and see, I don't know, kind of how you feel about it. And I know that because you guys care so much and you look at other companies and what they've done and stuff like that, but the two words, what do they mean to you? Bench trimming. What does that mean to you?
So there are many ways to make a burger. And, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is consistency. And
right.
Buying from the same suppliers, buying the same quality of raw materials, or cuts of beef. I mean, that's something that we really take tremendous pride in. So bench trimmings is the opposite of that. I'm not saying that they're not flavorful, or they don't have, the opportunity to create a good burger. But by their nature, bench trimmings are, in most cases, aged steaks or aged trimmings. And so unless you can perfectly age every piece of trimming, blend the perfect amount of percentages every single time you make it, you're getting an inconsistent burger. But most importantly, the texture on a burger that is bench trimming is a very loose and it's a very loose texture. And
it's not good.
Loose, I mean, almost, no, I would say almost mushy.
Right. Absolutely.
There's loose and there's mushy. So I am not, I'm not saying that every bench trimming burger is bad, but for the most part, if you're going to eat a burger once a week, which everyone should, by the way, it's part of a healthy diet.
Nice.
I would not be buying a burger that's bench trimmed. I would really focus on, burgers that are consistent.
Well, it's one of the things I wanted to bring up to you because you have, someone like you who takes such pride in what they do, when you say something like bench trimmings, I was hoping you would go immediately to consistency because that's exactly what you don't get when you use cuts like that. When you're taking cuts of meat that you trimmed off of other pieces of meat and, essentially you're taking the shit and you're trying to make gold out of it. And listen, sometimes it's going to be good.
Sometimes it's not. I really break this down, right? Bench trimmings are – what we like to call is the steak purveyor's gold, because what they've done is they've sold that steak. Yeah, they've sold the steak to the steakhouse, and the steakhouse pays for those bench trimmings, even though they're not using it. And then they go grind up on a burger, so they can get rid of it.
But absolutely, that's what they do. But that's exactly what you don't do, and that's one of the things that I found most attractive about Schweid & Sons and about the burgers you guys make. So one of the coolest things about it is it's so uniform in flavor. You're hitting everything with the flavor profile when you get it. And to me, you get texture too, which is kind of an important thing to me. How do you maintain such a texture with all these burgers all the time? Now, you have so many different grinds, but just in general.
So I'll start with the first question, right? It the cuts of beef, the quality of the suppliers that we partner with,
right,
is the main reason why we can we the flavor profile is consistent 52 weeks of the year. It's very easy in this business to save a penny or two. It's very easy to deviate from, you know, the formulas that we've created. It's all about dollars, right? And, you know, my father is very, you know, is very wise in his business acumen, but he simplifies things. And I think it's very apropos. So he'll say to me when I was growing up in the business, I was with my brother. He would say, you know, if you put great things into the burger, a great product's going to come out. He goes,
absolutely.
When you start to deviate from that product, from that formula, right? You get what you pay for in life. And so,
man,
you know, that's where, you know, we've taken pride in the fact that we're not going to be the cheapest supplier out there. That's the purveyor. That's not who we are. Right? Our focus is on quality. And then, you know, you go back to the texture part. And a lot of it is, for us, it's repetition, right? I mean, we've been doing this for so many years. And, you know, part of what makes us successful is our customers. So our customers drive us to innovate, to be different, to be great. And so when we talk about grind, you know, typically we have a large percentage of our business is one type of grind because that's what the customer demands. But there are other grinds that we make, different sizes that we really manufacture. You know, we make for the customer. And so I think it's important to focus on when you talk about consistency, right? You can only be consistent if you have the right cuts of beef from the right suppliers, you know, in a process that you've been doing for, you know, in this case, you know, 40 years at this business, another 40. I mean, it's been over 100 years. So, you know, if we can't get it right in this long, we probably should get out of the business.
Well, and that's the tough part about it, man, because, I mean, you guys do, I mean, you do Angus, you do certified Angus, you do natural Wagyu, prime, grass-fed. I mean, you're doing everything over there when it comes to doing grinds. You also do custom blends for people. So tell me a little bit about some of these custom blends you're making for guys.
The burger landscape has changed over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with folks like yourself, right? You're more educated than you ever were on, you know, the cuts of beef. You're more educated on where your food comes from, what are flavorful pieces of meat versus, you know, beef that's not as flavorful. So,
right.
You know, we've partnered with folks like yourself, and they come to us with chuck or with hanger or with, you know, a loin tail, steak tail, a short rib. I mean, it's you know, I think we've sort of, in terms of the cuts of beef, I think we've run out of cuts. Of what we can grind, you know, briskets and you know, top rounds. I mean, it's you know, to a point where we've once had some demand for a ribeye or a filet, burger, and you know, we're like, look, I know you're trying to be different, and we'll make what you ask us, but I can tell you one thing, and I've a buddy of mine, so I was down in Florida with him, and him and his dad, his name is Jay Greenstein, him and his dad are arguing about what makes a great burger. And his dad's like, I'm going to go and buy a filet mignon, and I'm going to make this burger.
No.
And his son, you know, and I are talking, and I know his dad a long time, and his dad is a hysterical, stubborn man, and we're like, it's not going to work. It's
right,
not going to work. And he's like, no, it's going to work. We get a call, and he's got a little grinder in the house. He's a home chef. And, you know, look, the one thing I'd never like to do is tell chefs, culinary, you know, culinary people, home chefs, what to do, right?
It's tough.
But
yeah.
But if I see something I know I've done before, and you know it's not going to work, and so he calls us up to about 3 hours later, he goes, you're right, I'm done, and he hung up the phone.
well, Jamie, tell him why. Tell him why. Like, you would think of filet, like, people like you and me, like, a filet, I mean, honestly, like, if I'm going to pick a cut of beef, that's not what I'm going to pick. It's not good. I mean, hell, I don't even want to grill a filet, to be honest with you. My wife and I fight about it all the time, but if you're going to make a burger, I mean, tell them why it's not going to work. It's not great flavor. Tell them that's a terrible idea.
Ribeye and filets are amazing cuts of tender beef.
Yeah.
They're delicious. But the the makeup of the of those cuts, where it's, so really it falls, and if I'm getting too sort of scientific, let me know. So if you think about the animal,
you were talking to cooks, man.
Okay,
you're not going to get too scientific. They want to hear it.
So if you're talking about a steer or a heifer, which is what we use, so you know we don't use cows. I don't like to use the word cow because we don't use cow meat. We use steer meat and we use heifer meat, which are cattle that are bred to, you know, for beef. So
right,
if you look at the way they way they walk and they run, they use their hindquarters and their forequarters, right? So they use areas of their body and they use them like a muscle would. So
right.
What's the best grinding material in a steer heifer? It's the shoulder. It's the chuck.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a piece of beef that's not too tender. It's somewhat firm, right? And you get that great texture in the burger. Now, as you move towards the middle of the animal, that's when you talk about your middle meat. So you talk about your ribeyes. You talk about your sirloins, your porterhouses, et cetera. And those are very, very tender parts because that part of the animal isn't getting worked. So there's no muscle, you know, firm texture muscle. So what happens is if you grind that up, it's mush. It becomes a mushy, mushy burger because there's no muscle, there's no muscle to that part of the animal.
Wow, it's amazing because people don't think about that. Like, you know, to layman's terms, it. I mean, you want the fat. The fat is where the flavor's at. You know, when you're grinding up a filet mignon, there's no fat there.
Yes. Well, that's another point, too. You get that. That's a very good point. On the ribeye, you get the fat. On the filet, yes, you don't get that fat. And that's the conversation I have with the grass-fed versus grain-fed.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a proponent of you want what you want, all right? So when a friend, a customer asked me what my favorite burger is, my typical response is not relevant. And they go, well, what do you mean? I said, well, because my personal preference shouldn't influence or affect what you're trying to do. I said, my goal is to find out what they want, right? So,
right.
You know, you look at grass-fed versus grain-fed. I personally, right, enjoy grain-fed beef. It's full of fat, you know, fat is flavor. You have a wonderful marbling to the cut of beef. And it presents a beautiful, beautiful flavor. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, you have grass-fed beef, which is obviously not grain-fed, and
right.
It's a much gamier flavor, and it's not as robust as grain-fed. But it doesn't mean that grain-fed beef or the grass-fed beef for the consumer that enjoys it isn't great for them. It's just something
right.
that I wouldn't prefer. But you know, the percentages are much smaller, but grass-fed beef is growing at a much faster rate right now, albeit a much smaller volume, you know, than grain-fed.
Well, that's where I was going to go next. It's amazing how you see so many people looking for that grass-fed product, looking for that, you know, more humane product, I guess is the way to put it. And I love grass-fed beef. I'm a giant proponent of it. A great friend of mine and former NFL player, Will Witherspoon, has a fantastic farm called Shiregate Farm. What they're doing out, they're changing the whole grass-fed beef game. And he's fantastic, and what he's doing is unbelievable. I should connect you two because you might like to talk to him. He's amazing. But
Will Witherspoon, was he on the Saints?
He played with the Rams, he's an amazing guy. And what he's done, you picture all these guys. Listen, I know we're getting off base a little bit here, but these guys would be on the off season. You know, they go to the gym and they work out. Will is out there pounding stakes into the ground, building fences on the off season. I mean, he's an amazing guy, and what he's done is unbelievable. And his beef is fantastic, but that's another story on another day. But all in all, you see these guys coming out and with things such as, you know, and people give me crap for it, Jamie. They tell me that, you know, Food Network, Cooking Channel. But what they're doing, they're educating people. You know, they're educating people on what's happening with the world today with as far as food and giving them more perspective. And grass-fed beef, I think, is gaining more and more ground. And I'm sure in your business, maybe you're seeing that.
Yeah, you know, I think what the Food Network and the Cooking Channel and all those shows have done, which I think is really, really important in the landscape of food, is they've informed the consumer. They've educated the consumer on where their food comes from. And I think that's very important, right? you know, if you look at menus 10 years ago versus now, it never said where the beef is from or what genetics the animal is. And I think it's important, you know, as we grow and as we become more informed about our food supply, I think it's very important. You touched upon something before, which I think are two separate points. So there's humane and there's grass-fed. So
right.
They're not necessarily the same.
Definitely not.
We're part of a program called Certified Humane. It's a third-party organization where we're audited by this company. They audit the feedlots. They audit the ranchers. They audit the harvesters to, you know, ensure a humane, you know, supply chain for this animal. So, you know, that's something that we invested our time, money, and effort in, and we'll continue to do to keep the industry as transparent as possible. I think, you know, on the grass-fed side, you know, the argument on grass-fed is it's a healthier beef, and the science would show that it is healthier, but it's not a significant health difference just from the beef side. You know,
right,
when
right.
you talk about natural grass-fed versus natural grain-fed, there really aren't many differences between the two, right? The only difference is one is grain-fed, one is grass-fed. The association with grass-fed many times falls under that all grass-fed is natural, which is not always the case. But I think
right.
that's a bit of a misinformation for the consumer, is that if you see natural grass-fed, it's a very different product than, you know, let's say grass-fed that's not natural.
Of course. I mean, it's amazing because labeling is such a thing. You know, labeling is such a thing, especially these days. I mean, you're looking at grass-fed, natural. I mean, it kind of drives me nuts that the consumer themselves, it's almost like they have to get a textbook to understand the labeling when it comes down to how, when they just go buy a burger, when they buy a steak and whatnot. And I know how much, because me as a chef, you know, when I was in culinary school, they taught us about how important labeling is and how much you have to go through to have that label or to have the organic label or to have the natural label. Do you find it really, really hard for some of your products to have to deal with that?
I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was at the supermarket on Saturday, and I went to go buy syrup. I just happened to be there, not specifically to buy syrup, but I was buying syrup.
Okay.
There was 25 different syrups.
Like maple syrup, right? Like maple syrup?
Yeah. 25 different. I'm sitting there. I don't know. I'm just selling syrup. I'm so confused. After 5 minutes, I don't know. I don't even end up buying the syrup.
Just buy it. Fuck it. I'm not gonna buy it.
Because I'm so confused because there's so many options, and to be honest with you, there's so much, you know, labeling information that perhaps is, you know, although might adhere or probably adheres to the USDA or the FDA, that is not necessarily really what it is. And
right.
I think that's the challenge that we have. You know, organic is a very specific product spec. So organic is organic is very clear in its definition.
Completely.
And,
but
yeah.
Statewide it changes, doesn't it? Like depending on what state, like they're I mean not so much with beef, but with produce, like they say, okay, you can use, you know, 15% of pesticides on your produce here, or you can use, you know, a 20% copper mixture to spray on your produce here, and we'll still call it organic. I mean, it's the same thing kind of with a beef. Do the rules change state to state?
No. So with organic in the beef industry, it's monitored by the USDA, and there's
right.
a very clear, specific requirement for that animal to be organic and to be our plant to be organic and for us to obviously sell the product as organic. So, you know, it's the feed that the animal eats. It's the chemicals and oils that we use in the facility. You know, it's an expensive process, and I also don't really see the, in terms of flavor, I'm not talking about the other benefits, which is,
right.
you know, I eat maybe a little differently than others, but I don't see a...
You think?
I don't see a better quality beef. Actually, I see an inferior quality beef when you're talking about organic. But as you
sure.
move into natural, it is such a convoluted term within the beef and call it the whole protein industry, that it's impossible for a consumer to be able to tell what natural is. Because In some cases, natural just means minimally processed. So all ground beef by nature is natural because I'm minimally processing. I'm not adding anything to that beef.
Right.
That to me is disingenuous. So if you look at our packaging, it doesn't say all natural on it for every product because it's not all natural.
Wow. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually a topic that, you know, I was on a call today with I'm a tech geek. I'm a huge sports fan as well, by the way. So I was very interested in your conversation before. But I'm a big tech geek. And, you know, I was over the weekend, I was just like you, I was snowed in for 2 days. And after I watched The Martian and Straight Outta Compton and everything else on TV, I was like, I gotta do something. So I ended up, and I was just researching some different companies. And I found this company I was talking to today, where they do genetic testing of your beef and to verify that what you're buying is exactly what you're supposed to be getting. And
I mean, it's crazy. That's crazy. That's the world we're living. That's insane. That's a thing? Like, that's crazy.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm on the phone. I'm like, this is the next generation. For me, I'm all about transparency because I got nothing, you know, not only do I have nothing to hide, I want to promote the fact that what we're doing is very transparent. I mean, if you look at how our world has changed dramatically through technology, everybody wants to know everything. Like, there's no the curiosity of the human spirit has been captured by the ability to access this information in such a quick manner using technology. And truthfully, our industry, the food industry, for the most part, has really lagged behind the rest of the rest of industry. Right?
Yeah.
We haven't been able to, and a lot of it's cost. You know, in many cases, they want to keep the cost down the food. But the other thing I think is just this, you know, I think just a lack of it's not a
education.
Lack of pride because they're prideful. But no, it's an insecurity that if they talk too much about this product, then the activist groups will be very active in talking about the product. And when in fact, you know, I disagree wholeheartedly. People who eat meat understand,
right,
that there's a process that gets to that burger on their plate. They might not want to know about it, and they don't have to do research or read about it. But they understand to a degree what gets the burger on their plate. Now,
well,
you know, there's other part of consumers that they want to know.
Man, you're right, and I just think it's because the education of the consumer is kind of notched up even from where it was. I mean, even 5 years ago, it's just on a whole different level.
Well, I mean, it's as educated as the consumer is now, we have made the industry and made the terminology so confusing that it's nearly impossible for us to go out and really, you know, and market the product in a way where the consumer has a clear idea and vision of what's on that product. I mean, you've seen our product packaging. We're very specific
in
the cuts of beef that are in that in that blend. And
absolutely.
We put what's on there. You know, we name the burger. You know, it's very funny in our industry. We're having this conversation with one of our digital marketing company that we do business with. And and by the way, cheap plug. If you haven't checked it out, our Make Burgers Great Again video is
I was getting on, there. I was getting there. I'm getting there.
Okay. I'm
getting there. It's a great video.
That's my cheap plug. Thank you. So, you know, when the people at Oreo Cookies decided to come out with their product, they didn't say it's two cookies with cream inside. They came up with a name because the consumer needs something catchy, something they can, you know, remember. So that's why, you know, what we decided to do is we name the different burger products so that, you know, the consumer that comes in that doesn't have to come in and say, I want a certified Angus beef, brown chuck patty. I think that's what it is. You know,
like, you guys have like the heritage blend. You have, you name it, and I think it's really important because then people know what to look for. And just kind of off what you're talking about, it's funny because I'm getting a message right now from Will Witherspoon. How funny is that? The guy I was just talking to you about. He's saying the consumer's union is trying to ban the label of natural because it's too confusing. It's too It has no standing. It doesn't mean anything.
I couldn't agree with him more. And yes, I just actually did see that because it doesn't. It has no meaning. And I think what it does is for folks like Will and myself that are actually transparent in what they're doing.
Right.
You know, we have the All Natural, which is part of our certified humane partnership. That's a truly never ever antibiotic, steroid, hormone free beef. And in Will's case, where he's doing grass fed, his is a natural. I mean, I'm assuming it could be, but I'm assuming it's a natural product. But yet,
100%.
The message gets so diluted because of the lack of clear definition by the USDA. And I think if we could get some clear definition on what it is, we'll all be better. The consumer, the purveyors, the farmers, everyone else will win in that. In that world.
Absolutely, man. And I can see it right now. Like, I could sit here and talk to you for 3.5 hours. Like, we could just talk food. Like, you get so fired up about it the same way I do. I get made fun of when I talk about food. I start talking with my hands. I'm standing up right now, just so you know. That's what I do. I get so fired up and excited about it, especially with food people. And you're definitely a food person. But which is interesting to me because you studied finance at the University of Indiana, and now you're here. You've been breaking down like ground beef and burgers and just how things are labeled, and you're so passionate about it. How do you go from being a finance guy to all of a sudden now, like, I mean, for lack of a better way to put it, you're a meat guy. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course not. No. And I would say this. Well, first I have to correct you. It's Indiana University.
Oh, shit.
I'm a proud graduate of the Kelley School of Business of Indiana University. Go Hoosiers. It's life is a very interesting journey, right? And I'm not trying to be profound here, but
okay.
It is. And growing up in where I did, which is in northern New Jersey, there's a certain pressure, right, to be involved in certain professions based on what economic gain, right? And so, I looked at it and I sort of fell into that rut a little bit. So, yeah, I want to work in finance. I want to make money. I want to do all these things. And I think, like I said, and I was scheduled. I had a job set up at Bear Stearns, and I was supposed to go work there. And, life threw me in a different path. And, when I started working for my dad and at the company, it took probably 2 or 3 months, and then I realized what my passion was. And, as clear as my passion is food, it's about building something, right? It's about creating something. And I think that, I have a lot of friends in finance, some of my best friends, but they don't create. And I think what makes me feel whole every day, what makes me feel happy, is that we're making a product, right? We're creating something that's making, that's making the world a bit of a happier place by enjoying great hamburgers. And so, looking back, I think my motivations were ill-suited as I was a 22-year-old kid graduating from Indiana University, coming to New York, the finance capital of the world. I never make it all. But what I found is that if you work hard, you work smart, and you're really passionate and love what you do, then all of those things will end up coming your way. But if you let the money, if you let that rule your decisions, and that's a principle that I use today in business. If you let money guide you, it will guide you in the wrong direction. You have to make decisions based on what's best for your company. And for us, like we talked about before, the quality of the cuts of beef. There have been opportunities in the past for us to save a penny or two or three, right?
Yeah.
But I go back to my dad saying, I can go all day. It's not a, he always would say to me, Jamie, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Right.
The customer will know if you cheat. The customer will know if you change their burger. He goes, do you want to live with that? And I said, he's right. You've got to think about the long term. You have to treat the customer. Back to the whole tech conversation. What's the lifetime value of these customers? right? For me, you know, it's not only building the relationship. So, you know, you're a chef, right? You love our product. And I look
right.
at you and I say, I don't just want to sell you burgers. I want to help you. I want to help your business. I want to help your business grow. I want to get, you know, foot, you know, I want to get help increase your foot traffic. You know, that's why we hired, you mentioned before, Rev, our director of marketing. You know,
yeah, I'm sorry you did that. I'm sorry that you guys did that. I'm just kidding. I love Rev. He's the best.
I know. But no, but I think that's where we look at our at the value proposition of our company. It's like, well, great. Look, we make a great burger. We say the very best burger. But,
absolutely.
You know, it's more than that, right? We have to be an asset to our consumer by offering, you know, these great products. We're offering them in a transparent way, but also being able to educate them on the different cuts of beef. But for our restaurant customers, like, how do we offer them value, right? And we look at it from a perspective of, you know, we can use our social media to help promote them. We're also, I don't know if this is on the docket, but we're the sponsor for the South Beach Wine and Food Festival.
Oh my God, Jamie, can we talk about stuff off air? Holy shit! Like, it's my favorite event of all time, and I'm you know, I'm not a restaurant guy. I'm a private chef, caterer, and I do a lot of television shit, as you've seen, and that's one of the events that has been on my bucket list to be a part of forever, and I'm jealous you guys are a part of that. That's incredible.
My childhood dream has come true. And
you talk to me. You talk to me. I'm happy to hear that.
No, I'm going to tell you why it's come true. So we have five judges for the Burger Bash this year. Last year we had Dan Robitaille. I don't know if you're a big ESPN guy.
Yeah.
We had Jeffrey Zakarian.
Okay.
He's a restaurateur and on the Food Network. We had Katie Lee, who's written very great successful cookbooks. We had George Motz, who is coming out with his recipe book in
fantastic
April.
Fantastic guy. Great guy. Great guy. Food Film Festival guy.
Yes. Food Film Festival. He was also a judge this year as well. And we had Chrissy Teigen.
I'm sure. Why not?
And watching, let me tell you about someone who loves food and is unabashed in her love for hamburgers. Chrissy Teigen, and just a pleasurable person to be around. I mean, really, just a good
really?
Person. So this, yeah. So this year, we've got George back on. We've got the great Marcus Samuelson.
Great guy.
He's on board as one of the judges. Right?
Great guy.
We have from the Today Show. We have Natalie Morales.
Sure.
And we have. This is where my childhood and adulthood dream. So for,
here we go.
I don't know what the demographic is of your fan base, but I can tell you that anyone who grew up in the, call it like late 80s, early 90s, watched a small show, five seasons, called Doogie Howser.
Oh, no. Stop it.
Neil Patrick Harris is one of
our
judges.
Come on. Yes. All right, listen. I pride myself on doing a show, and just really quick, because I haven't done it yet. Because I'm staring at my computer screen, wishing you and I were sitting face to face talking, and I've been so intrigued by our conversation. I haven't done any of these plugs yet. You can follow Schweid and Sons on Twitter at Schweid and Sons on Twitter, and of course follow my man Jamie on Twitter at jschweid56 on Twitter. Follow him there, and definitely check out SchweidandSons.com for all. Listen, you want burgers? You can go to SchweidandSons.com, type in your address, which is a great feature on the website, by the way, and you can find where the burgers
Thank
are.
You.
Honestly, you have Doogie Howser. Fucking Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
Jamie, I work blue on the show. I curse.
Oh, let's not also sleep on Barney Stinson here from How I Met Your Mother.
Well, but Doogie Howser.
I mean,
what does Doogie Howser know about burgers? I'm not being a dick. I'm just curious.
So his husband is actually a very well-known chef.
Okay, but that doesn't make Doogie Howser.
Yeah, he's a judge. But NTH, and by the way, I'm hoping I can call him that. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I'm hoping that when we meet, that I call him, like, Mr. – like, I'm going to start with, like, Mr. Harris. And then he's like – and I've only heard amazing things about how nice he is. And I'm like, at some point, I'm going to slip in NTH. And I'm hoping – and not in a disrespectful manner. I'm just hoping that he's like – it gives me that look like you're in. And then I'm done. My life is validated. But like, quick back to the plug. Jschweid 56. The reason it's 56 is for the this, for the greatest linebacker ever to play the game, Lawrence Taylor. That's why it's
56. Absolutely. Not gonna argue with you there. Not one bit.
For your Connecticut fans. For your Connecticut Giants fans.
Ugh, the Connecticut Giants fans. There you go. I'm a Steelers fan, so I'm already bitter as it is enough. Hey, listen. So I do a lot of work with Turner Classic Movies, and we have a whole deal signed and some things going on with them. So the next time I'm doing burgers, I'm definitely going to use Schwein & Sons burgers for Turner Classic Movies. So that'll be awesome. Looking forward to doing that.
What kind of stuff are you doing for Turner Classic?
They're doing the whole, like, wine and movie and, like, a date night, like, wine and movie and food and the whole kind of stuff all together and how it all fits together. And they want me to pair food with movies. And it's pretty cool what we've done. We've done 5 videos for them so far. We're going to have a lot more coming up. It's going to be a great, a fun thing. But, you know, all that aside, it's any opportunity I get, honest to God, Jamie, it's any opportunity I get to put Schwein & Sons out there because people need to know about this. People need to know where they can get this. And the coolest thing of all is I'm talking to you, having an interview with you. You're one of the coolest food people I've ever spoke to ever on this show, and this is episode 62 or something like that. And what's amazing about it is it's still a family company, and that to me is really important.
All of our principles of running our family business come from The Godfather, so that's why we've lasted this long.
Yeah.
So it's really important for us. I mean, it's, you know what? There's something that's very fulfilling when you work within when a family business works, right? You know, everyone hears the negatives of a family business, but you know, in our case, it's been a great success. And there's not, like, you know, I work with my brother. My father doesn't really work day to day anymore. He's put his time in, but he's involved still in a much less capacity, not day to day. But you know, there's something great where, you know, you're when you go out and make a sale, or you go out and you grow your business. It's not just for you. It's for your you know, my brother, and my brother has children, and I also, we have employees that have been working for us for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're part of, you know, the extended family. And so, you know, I look at this, and I try to get up every morning, I'm the dick who's like, loves going to work every day. Is like, my work, like, you know, so
yeah, yeah.
I try not when people ask me about my, like, you know, do you like your job? I never am like, it's the greatest, because I literally love it. I'm like, you know, it's fun.
Right.
Because I, you know, you don't want to throw it in somebody's face, but
you
want to
oversell.
Yeah, I don't know, but I, you know, look, if you're sitting next to the guy who's been working at the accounting firm for 20 years who hates his job, no one, like, I don't want to be the, you know, I don't want to be the guy next to him who's like pumping away about how amazing and happy he is. Like, nobody wants, you know.
Yeah,
but
totally.
But you know, there's something, you know, majorly fulfilling it, and I think I feel responsible for all the employees that work for us, and you know, if I don't do what I need to do to be successful, you know, I don't feel like I'm not only letting myself down, but I'm letting them down. And they have families as well, and they're, you know, they're using this to better their lives and better their family lives. So, you know, we, you know, Schwein & Sons, what's important to us is treating people with respect. You know, whether you're, you know, whether you're someone who works in our production facility or you're me. You know, we should all be showing that same respect, and I think it's really important. You know, when you keep that family environment around, it really conducive to create a great culture at a company.
Man, and it's just so awesome to hear someone, you know, of your stature and doing what you do say something like that, because I think too many people forget the people who are working in the facilities and doing that sort of thing. And what you've done, and just talking to you, and it's honestly because I got your bio, I read everything, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but just listening to you, you and I could talk. I don't know if you realize it, Jamie. We could talk for 9.5 hours because I could listen to you talk beef and just throw things at you. We could go back and forth because it's something I'm so passionate about, especially when it comes to food. Listen, Jamie, I've been good at 2 things in my life. I can cook food and I can make. That's the 2 things I can do. Everything else, I'm shit at. But you are amazing when it comes to talking about food and talking about what you guys do. And I think the passion that just you in this conversation have shown to me it shows why your product is so fucking good. What you guys are doing is amazing, and I urge everyone who's checking this show out to go to schweidensons.com, type in your address, and find out where you can get this product, because these guys are killing it. You can hear the passion in Jamie's voice and what he's doing, and it's amazing. So I thank you for being a company who is taking the time and caring and not just throwing shit out there. You guys are killing it.
Appreciate it. And just so you know, we're adding new stores every day to the website. We actually just picked up a couple new retailers in the North Carolina market, and we've added some new SKUs up in up in some of our existing retailers. So this is our selling time. So we're really excited. So check back to the site. We've got some great updates, not only on the on where our products are sold, but on some really, really fun content.
Man. And I honestly, Jamie, I think I have about 15 more questions for you. So maybe, who knows, at some point we could do a part two. I'd love to.
Can I come back?
Dude, you have an open invitation any day of the week. You call me and say, hey, I want to be on the show. You got it. No doubt. You got it. And by the way, Woo Witherspoon just said, solid call on LT. Just giving you that right now. That's a former NFL player agreeing with you. Listen, I'm going to give you my speed round right now. We are already running late, but I don't give a shit because I can not give a shit because I'm the boss. So no one else will tell me what to do. I'm having here a bourbon and diet.
We're the speed round. I like it. All right.
There you go. The speed round. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you three questions in the speed round, and then we're going to do some plugs, then we'll call it a night. And, dude, you are amazing to talk to. I would love to do a part two with you at some point. Hell, maybe even do a burger tasting with you live at some point and record it. It would be fantastic if you ever have the time, because you're a busy gentleman.
Look, I always make time to eat hamburgers, so it sounds to me like a very delicious interview, and I'll make time for you. I mean, it's all about balance in life, and so I'm happy to talk and meet with you guys, or meet with you and have a beer.
So I got people too. You can say you guys. I got people. It's okay. Check it out. Here we go. So at what point in your life? You know, obviously, at some point it happens. It happens to everybody, or maybe it hasn't happened yet. When you had food and you realized that food's a thing, food is a living thing. Food is a thing that makes you have emotion. Food makes you feel something. You know, a lot of times it's not just something we have to have for sustenance to maintain our bodies, to maintain life. Food is a thing. Has that moment happened to you, and what was it?
So, yes. It's a specific food that has evoked that emotion. So if I could eat them every day, I would. You'd be a chicken parm hero. There's something about that growing up. So growing up in Northern Jersey, very Italian, very Italian-oriented community, you really eat authentic food, right? So, you know, I used to, and still do, but I eat it not as often. Chicken parm hero, to me, is like one of the most delicious. Just you know, you're right. Food is not just food anymore. It's an experience, and it's
right.
It evokes emotion, and to me, oh god, chicken parm hero.
Yeah, man.
I was a fat kid growing up.
Listen, I love fat kids. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
So I would say probably, you know, I don't know a specific age, but I would probably tell you around middle school or high school is when I started to like. Really enjoy food. And, you know, when I was in college, I would also travel to, like, you know, different places. You know, Bloomington, Indiana, at that time wasn't the food mecca of the world.
Right.
So, you know, I was able to find, like, artisanal delis and, you know, some really cool stuff that was going on there that, you know, most people at that time in 2001 were just happy to go to, you know, McDonald's or Burger King.
Right, right, right.
No disrespect to McDonald's and Burger King. I'm just telling you, know, there's other food out there.
Oh, stop it. Don't be that guy. Come on. Of course. Fuck those guys. Who cares about them? Anyway.
Oh, my buddy, my very good friend of mine works at Burger King, so, and he's a great
really?
Guy. And so, so only love.
Can we actually talk to Burger King about the difference between broiling and grilling? Can we explain to them what the difference is or no?
You know,
I understand you can't answer that question. That's okay. So,
speak down too. All right, I like it.
The next question. So listen. So I'm a beverage drinker. I enjoy adult beverages. at one point in my life, it went from having Coors Light in a shed in rural Virginia to actually saying, hey, you know what? This is a great beer. It's made with craft. It's made with people who understand what hops are, or this is a great bourbon, or this is a fantastic wine. Have you had a cocktail yet that's had made you kind of make that decision? You know, maybe it was a great beer you had with a burger, or maybe it was, I mean, has anything kind of changed you with that when it comes to cocktails, or are you not a cocktail guy at all?
I am a cocktail guy, and I would say to you that the answer is yes. So there's, I am a huge Belgian beer drinker. It's like one
okay.
of the only, I think it's probably the only beer that I drink. And there's a place in Colorado. I think it's called Avery Brewing.
Okay.
And I was actually, ironically, another an Italian place, and they had this beer on tap, and I drank it for the first time because it was a really cool tap, the design of the tap, and I drank
right.
it, and like it changed me. Like now, I was never a beer drinker. I was like, I don't really like beer. I love Belgian wheat beer. So, like, Leffe and, Omegang in that area, like, I loved those types of beers. So that, you know, that experience, it wasn't that long ago. It was probably 6-7 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
It changed me. I would say another experience that changed me when I was 14 and I drank Long Island iced teas. And so I'll never drink a Long Island iced tea again.
Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that.
So
that's the drink, Jamie, that's the drink you order when you turn 21. Let me have the Long Island iced tea, which basically is every single liquor in your rail and then a little bit of the Pepsi in it.
Perhaps someone should have told me that when I was 14 at a Caribbean island when I drank two or three of them and had one of the least favorite nights of my life.
Oh, my God. I'm getting a message right now to tell you that the beer is called Avery White Rascal. That's the beer you're talking about. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes. It's incredible. Oh.
There you go. That's the message I'm getting. Avery White Rascal. That's the beer you're talking about. And, you know, I've never had that beer. I'm going to check that out. And listen, if you're ever in the Connecticut area, you have to call me because what's happened in our state, which it's pretty amazing, Jamie. We have over 40 craft breweries now in Connecticut. And this state is going to become known for craft beer. One of my good friends, Two Roads Brewing, what they're doing is amazing with beer and just taking it back to the craft aspect of it. And they care about it. And I mean, you walk into the brewery, brother, and all these guys that are brewers hanging out down there, they all have beards and they're just beer guys. They just fucking love beer. And it's amazing to see. And I think in the next 5 years, Connecticut's going to become one of the giant places for craft beers. Just watch. It's going to happen.
It seems to be, right, not only Connecticut, but in some great places across the country, this craft brew movement, I think, is almost a revolution, and it's a revolution against big business, where you're looking at a space where there's been no innovation up until
right.
the craft beer movement of 10, 15 years ago. Miller Lite, Coors Light,
right.
Bud Light. I mean, these are Natty Light.
Right.
I mean, those aren't beers. You wouldn't let your worst enemy drink those.
No, it's punk rock, dude. I swear, I equate it to punk rock. You know, I mean, you and I are close in the same age, and to me, it's punk rock. That's what it is, man. It's people who are doing their own thing and kicking ass doing it, and all of a sudden they're building a following, even though the mainstream wants nothing to do with it. And it's pretty amazing to see.
It's the Bernie Sanders of beer.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Nice reference. So listen,
I had to throw that in there. I had to throw that in there.
Dude, throw it in there. Do what you got to do. It's okay. I'm not going to judge it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a sip of my drink as we talk. Mm. So check it out. So, you're my age, roughly, and I say roughly, don't worry, I'm not that much older, but you're incredibly successful. You've had a great run and a lot more to come. You're very, very passionate about food. I had no idea the passion that you had, and now I do, and I'm a giant fan because of that, and I think that you're going to get a lot of fans because of that, because we have a lot of food guys that check this show out. We have a lot of young cooks. I tell the story that recently, I got an Instagram message from a girl, a female cook in Singapore, brother, who she sent me a picture of herself cleaning fish and had the radio show on her phone. which is just amazing to me. I had no idea. I make dick jokes and drink beer. I don't know what the fuck she's sending me messages for, but that's what it is. It's amazing to watch this sort of stuff happen, especially with passionate people like yourself, who have done very well and who are changing the food business as we know it. What is, do you think, the biggest piece of advice you would give to young cooks? I mean, I'm talking 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old guys who are in this business, because I joke about this business as being it's a Lost Boys. It's a band of pirates, people who, you know, aren't accepted. You've seen cooks, you've seen food guys, people who maybe don't have that, you know, a group of people to accept them, but yet we're still all together. Here we are doing our thing, cooking food and listening to shows like this and hearing great minds like yourself. What would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to someone like that? That was a long question. I apologize.
I'll give you, yeah. So dealing with chefs has been something that has been a great learning experience for me over the years. They're very eccentric, but also very smart and innovative. They're really artists, right? I mean, if you break it down, they're artists in a craft. And I'm very envious of what they can accomplish. The advice I would give is not just to any chef, truly to anyone out there, right? You know, success, right, in any business or any part of your life is about two things, okay? It's about one is preparation. Preparation, preparation, preparation. You can't prepare enough for whether it's a meeting, whether it's, it's the morning shift, whether it's a dinner service, whatever it is, being prepared, right? Anyone who tries to go in and wing it, it's not, you have to prepare in life, right?
We call it mise en place.
Yeah, you have to prepare, right? The other advice I would say is that working hard to me is a very outdated term.
Okay.
It's working smart, okay?
Nice.
You know, just because somebody works, puts hours in, doesn't mean that they're, you know, effective. The duration of time of work doesn't define the success. Work smart. Understand what you're doing. Be you know, ask questions. You know, that's the important being successful is knowing, is being, one is preparing, but on the second end, right, second part of it is you have to ask questions, you have to work smart, take the time that you have every day, which is your most precious commodity, right, and within that time, you have to make that time the most effective time you have. Because you're going to be successful if you prepare, right? If you prepare, and, you know, then also work smart.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if you could have put it any more clear for everybody. Work smart is the, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard on this show. We have been hanging out this evening. It's way later than we anticipated, but I couldn't help it. I was having a fantastic conversation with Jamie Schwide, the president of Schweid & Sons. You can check them out at Schweid & Sons on Twitter. That's S-C-H-W-E-I-D. Make sure you check because your spell correct will train some shit and mess you up. But check them out at Schweid & Sons on Twitter. And, of course, Jamie's personal account is at jschweid56 on Twitter. And listen, you guys know me. You check the show out every week. You know what we're doing. Schweid & Sons makes amazing burgers. I urge you so much to go to schweidandsons.com. Type in your address and find out where you can get this product. And Jamie, honestly, dude, I have enjoyed this conversation so much. It's one of my favorites I've done so far this year. Not even this year, in the past 6 months. This is a great conversation. I could talk to you forever. You have an open invitation, brother, anytime ever, to come back on the show and talk food with me.
My pleasure. I can't thank you enough for inviting me. And I can't wait for my next appearance on the show.
Dude, the future is bright. I apologize to you on behalf of Rev, because I know he is a handful to deal with, so I apologize. I know he never will, so I apologize to you for him, because I know you have to deal with him on a daily basis. There you have it. Listen, again, check out schweidandsons.com. Jamie, thank you so much for your time, my friend. I hope we should do a part two sometime, because I was going to ask you about blending. I had so many questions for you, but honestly, right now, after talking to you, I feel confident that I could go overtake a small country.
Well, you know what? My goal here is to inspire folks like yourself to go out and seize the day. So I couldn't be more excited. Thank you so much. And we should, you know, round two hopefully will be much sooner than later.
Yes, absolutely, my friend. And again, I thank you so much for your time this evening. And hey, we'll catch you on down the road. All right, my brother?
All right. Thank you.
There it is. Guys, check him out. That's my man, Jamie Schweid from Schweid & Sons, the fucking president of a company. And let me tell you something. I, honest to God, like, I'm not lying, I could talk to him forever. His knowledge of food, his knowledge of caring about food, these are all inspiring things to me. We've had some pretty amazing guests on the show. And literally, that has been one of my favorite conversations of all time. If you like burgers, you know what? Not even burgers. If you like food, Jamie was an amazing guy to talk to, because this guy, his passion when it comes to food is absolutely amazing. We're going to play 25 seconds, 30 seconds of a song while I get reacclimated, come back, do a couple of plugs, and get ourselves on down the road. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Hang tight.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the hall of fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
And I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata. Still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside. Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out. I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from.
Conversations I think I've had on this show. Jamie was awesome. I love his passion. His passion is something I think that a lot of people don't have, and you can hear it in the guy. And the guy went to school for finance, and now he's talking beef. We could talk for 2.5 hours. I love guys like that. I love guys who are just into their food. They're into what they're doing, and Jamie is there. Make sure you check out not coughing. Those things happen. We're live. I apologize. I can't edit it out. Make sure you check out at Schweid & Sons on Twitter. And, of course, SchweidAndSons.com, because my dude is doing some amazing stuff. And you can find their ground beef near you. And what they're – I wanted to ask them about steaks. I wanted to ask them about poultry, if they ever thought about getting into that. But just listening to the guy talk, I honestly, God, feel like I could go take over a small third world country. Make sure you also follow – my dude Jamie at jschweid56 on Twitter. It's awesome, and I'm a giant fan of what you do. Big thanks, Jamie. I appreciate you coming on the show. It was a fantastic conversation. I look forward to probably doing part two. I don't know, maybe we'll do a part two while we're tasting burgers and
talking beef, and honestly, this guy knows stuff, so and he's passionate, so it'd be a lot of fun to talk to the guy. You can follow me. That's right, everybody. If you want to follow me, shut up, Jay-Z. That's right. I told Jay-Z to shut up. You can follow me at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum on Twitter, on Instagram. And, of course, if you follow me on Facebook, which is my new shit, which, by the way, you guys, just so you know, I don't actually control my Facebook because I am the most anti-Facebook person ever. It's at Chef Plum on Facebook. Rachel, who is a phenomenal human being, and she does a lot of work with me and helps me out with things, she's controlling that. We did a fantastic video this afternoon. I was at her house. I made scallops. It was a very, very funny video. We messed them up on purpose, and then we fixed them. Check that out for sure. We messed up her scallops and made them better. It's all about – so many food shows these days show you how to make things, these perfect little dishes. No one shows you how to fix it when you mess it up. So make sure you check that out on Rachel Lampen. It's on her Facebook page. She's going to do a Vimeo. Yeah, it's some shit. Again, big, huge shout-out to my guy, Jamie Schweid, from Schweid & Sons. What a great dude. Enjoy talking to him. Look forward to part two. I just love passionate people, man. The guy is incredible. Make sure you follow him at jschweid56. Guys, check it out. The pop-up dinner this weekend happening here in Newtown, Connecticut. Is almost sold out completely. We are doing six courses. I say six because we moved Bush. I haven't decided what we're doing for the Bush yet, but it's going to be awesome. We're celebrating New England cuisine at its finest. I'm calling it Winter Warms the Soul. It's happening at Edmond Town Hall. You can find information at plumlovefoods.com. That's plumlovefoods.com. We're getting rid of that shit soon. Don't worry. Or Chef Plum.com. Check it out there if you don't have tickets already. We're almost sold out. Come check us out. And again, my good friend Ken Tuccio is doing an amazing event over at the Blind Rhino in Norwalk, if you're in the tri-state area. $15 open bar. A bunch of great local breweries are hanging out, serving great beer. So come check us out. It's going to be some game shows. He better have Plinko. I want Plinko. Plinko is my shit. Kenny, give me Plinko. Kenny, I want Plinko. I want Plinko. Good, that's my game. There you go. There it is, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap the show up. What a great show for this evening, man. Had a great time talking to Jamie Schweid. Make sure you follow them at Schweid & Sons on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, SchweidAndSons.com to find out how you can get some awesome burgers. Again, truly humbled for you guys checking the show out. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. And I'll catch you guys on down the road next Monday night. Take care. Peace, love, and chicken grease, baby. Here we go.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.